Hello, my name is Abby Lerner. Welcome to Torat Imecha with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek 149. Sitting in Yerushalayim, eerily safe from the missiles falling elsewhere, I must say that I took great strength in reading this Perek, which depicts the special relationship of God and the Jewish people. A fascinating thing about this perek is that many commentaries state that this is really the last perek of Tehillim in terms of the theme of the Jewish people that it addresses, and, as we will see, the end of days. The last perek, 150, is really viewed as a coda or an epilogue to the book. In fact, there are those who maintain that the first perek of Tehillim, and maybe even the second, are introductory chapters to the entire work. Of course, this is in keeping with the kind of literary parallelism inherent in this work and in many other books of Tanakh. The parallelism here being that chapter one is an introduction and the last chapter is an epilogue. Once again, our perek begins with the word Hallelujah, praise Hashem. We are asked, as we sometimes are in the book of Tehillim, and you can see Perek 96 that we sing on Friday night for Kabbalat Shabbat, to sing a new song, Shiru La Hashem, Shir Chadash. On occasion, we must look at the world with new eyes and bring something new to our day, to our prayers, just as God renews our world each day, as he has for the millennia. What new, fresh thing can we bring to our day, to our relationship with God? Years ago, when a family member was ill, he recovered beautifully, thank God, my prayers changed. When I looked at the paragraph in the Amidah that says, Atachonein la'adam da'at, you, God, give man wisdom, I suddenly focused on it in a way that I never had. Hashem, please give the doctors the wisdom to solve this problem, to help us. We're not always attuned to new circumstances, but when we are, and we put that together with our relationship with God, it changes everything. Then, of course, we get to thank God for giving the doctors the wisdom and the skill to be his messengers and to help us. Sing a new song, or sing your old song differently, with a new beat and a new focus. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, who wrote the introductions to the new Koran Tehillim and some brief commentaries, writes, new times demand new songs. New songs create new times. We can actually change the world by singing a new song, creating a new perspective. Our first verse continues with the theme struck by the last verse of Perek 148. There we saw Tehillah L'chol Chasidav, that God would exalt not just Israel, but Chasidav, referring to the loyal nations of the world. Here, too, the words Tehillato Bikal Chasidav, his praise will be sung in the community of Chasidav, refers again to the loyal nations of the world, a phenomenon that will grow toward the end of days, as this parak depicts. Yismach Yisrael Ba'osav, in verse 2. The Jewish people will rejoice in their Creator. Notice it says Osav, not the Creator, but their Creator. The Jewish people are an actual creation of God. Just as the world was created by God and everything in it, so too the Jewish people are much more than a political entity. We're an actual creation of God. In Az Yashir each morning from Parshat B'Shalach in Shmot, Exodus, we state, Hu Azcha V'Yechonenecha. God made you and established you. God says to Abraham, E'escha l'gai gadol, I will make you into a great nation. Perhaps the fact that we are a creation of God and not just a man-made political entity explains the indestructibility of the Jewish people even after millennia of exile and untold suffering. B'nei Tzion yagilu b'malkam, the sons of Zion will rejoice in their king, referring here not to Mashiach, but the Melech Malchei HaMlachim, the ultimate king, Hashem. Some say that B'nai Tzion is a very specific reference to those who will come up to Jerusalem during the three major festivals. This is something that we've had a little taste of in our day, when tourists descend on Jerusalem during the three festivals of Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot, and we wait for the end of Corona, when we can get this taste in our mouths again. The song we sing will now be accompanied by music and perhaps even dance. Some say that machol is not dance, but rather a musical instrument. But why all this rejoicing? God's anger at us has ceased. Verse 4 states, Ki rotzeh Hashem ba'amo. Rotzeh doesn't only mean to desire or want, that Hashem wants his nation. Liratzot means to appease. God is now ready for rapprochement with his Jewish people. Yifa'er anavim b'yishua, he will glorify the lowly with victory. And following Hirsch, who says that Hasidim refers to the loyal nations of the world, this will cause them to rejoice. Yiranenu al mishkavotam, literally they will sing in their beds. As opposed to what we read in Perek 6 of Tehillim, which is often said at Tachanan, Asche v'chol laila mitati b'dimati arsi amsa. I'm swimming in my bed in a pool of tears. Literally the paradigm of a sleepless night. Verse 6 has piqued the interest of a number of commentaries. Romamut kel bigronam v'cherev pipiot biadam. If we think of the Hasidim referred to early as our own holy Jewish people, we have two ways of looking at this verse. Romamut kel begronam, we sing the praises of Hashem with our throats, garon. But even a pious Jew does not end with that. They hold cherev pipiot biadam. They hold a double-edged sword in their hand. We don't just wait on the sidelines for God to send victory as we pray. We sing, we daven, we speak of God's glory, and we also act. We can think of the Maccabees or our own Chayalim today, many of whom davening on the battlefield, a concrete fulfillment of this pasuk. Number two, Rabbi Steinsaltz very creatively goes somewhere else entirely with this verse. He speaks of our inner exile and of the verse in Exodus regarding how the Egyptians embittered our lives with hard work. V'yimaruru et chayehem ba'avodah kasha. The light that gives birth to love of Hashem and awe of Hashem descended and got stuck in our narrow throats, the throat that connects the heart and the mind. The advice is to scream out to God in prayer with our throats, to complain at the top of our voices, lehit marmer, like vayimareru et chayehem, to scream about the godliness in us. This is the avodah kasha, vayimareru et chayehem ba'avodah kasha. Cry out about your spiritual life with avodah kasha. Avodah also means service, prayer. Not they embittered their lives with hard work. The Egyptians embittered the lives of the Jews with hard work. Rather, scream out the hit marmer about your spiritual life. This is the hard work of tefillah, of prayer. Right? Romamut kel bigronam. This screaming out in our throats. And with a double-edged blade, we will destroy all the impediments to a life of Torah and prayer. Cherev pipiot biadam. A sword is made of hard metal, barzel, so our tefillah has to be hard work to bring Hashem into our orbit. If we can do that, then even the hardest heart will be melted inside, and we will bring Hashem back to us. Three, if we interpret Hasidim as the righteous of the nations, then the double-edged sword represents vengeance against the enemies who would hurt those who are loyal to the Jewish people, as well as deflecting any punishment that may have been headed in their direction. The exalting of God, number four, is deep in the throat of those who praise God, and not just lip service. Romamut kel bigronam. The praise of God is deep in their throat. For those who love the literary aspect of Tanakh, notice that David refers to gronam, throats, and then cheref pipiot refers to the mouth. The word pipiot here can mean a double-edged sword, but peh is a mouth. So here we talk about gronam and pipiot, right? Peh and throat. Amazing. Finally, our last two verses, the kings of our enemies will be bound in chains. Their noblemen will be tied in ropes of iron. Ironically, but most probably planned by David HaMelech, is that the second parak of Tehillim, parallel to our next to the last parak of Tehillim, also speaks of Tiroein b'shevet barzel, you will destroy them with an iron rod. Of course, all I could think of as I was preparing this a few weeks ago was a reference to the Kippat Barzel, the iron dome that was deflecting the missiles headed in our direction. I felt that I was living through a prophecy of King David. Verse 9, the last line, speaks of the judgment rendered against our enemies that is written, Katuv, in our Torah. Deuteronomy 7:22, for example, says, their kings will succumb to your power and will destroy, and you will destroy their name from beneath the heavens. This will be a source of glory to all those who are faithful to Hashem and his people, Jew and non-Jew alike. Hallelujah. Thank you for studying together the Eloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.